אנחנו קוראים בספר
We are reading Tess, Volume 1, Part 2, Chapter 2, Inner Light, Number 80, beginning with this means that it was imprinted in the right, etc.
So,
the words of the Ari. Adam Kadmon extended from itself until the end of Atzilut. In it, all of the lights are included, and we have no permission to engage in it. Item 6. This arc stretches from one end to the other, from the upper end to the lower end, throughout the above space of Atzilut. All the worlds are contained in that Adam. But we have no permission whatsoever to delve and speak of this Adam's internality and self. Again, item 6, Adam Kadmon extends from Ein Sof to the end of Atzilut, and it contains all the worlds, and we are not permitted to engage in it. Item 6, this Adam Kadmon, Ak, extends from one end to the other, from the upper end to the lower end, throughout the above space of Atzilut. All the worlds are contained in that Adam. But we have no permission whatsoever to delve and speak of this Adam's internality and self.
And below,
we will read item 400 in Inner Light, explaining this Adam Kadmon, this Ak. We should not wonder at the use of the name Adam. It is written,
Adam Rishon Yudan.
Rabbi Yuda said, great is the power of prophets who liken a form to its maker, as it is written, and I heard the voice of men between the banks of Ulai, etc. And upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as the appearance of a man upon it above. The reason will be explained in its appropriate place.
Sure, we have nothing to talk about here. It's preparation for something he will explain later.
Item 1, explaining, extends from one end to the other. In Inner Light 1, it means that it connects everything from Ein Sof, the most refined of all of the worlds, down to the middle point, the coarsest phase in all the worlds. Thus, the entire reality before us, the upper ones and the lower ones, are all its branches which have cascaded from it, hang on it, and clothe it. This is why it connects all of them.
Yeah, that's how reality came to be, expanding from one point and it grows to become like a tree of life. It expands and spreads out until it comes to its conclusion in its cascading down from above downwards. And this cascading is called Adam Kadmon. Why Kadmon? Primordial, because it precedes all the still, vegetative, animate, and speaking that would be revealed spiritually and also later corporeally. So this cascading down, for the time being, he explains that it comes to us from that point, the beginning of creation, the first point.
Item 2, explaining this Adam's internality and self. Item 2, the internality, meaning the light of Ein Sof that is clothed in him, and his self is considered the gar in him. It has already been explained that we have no permission to speak of any discernment of gar in any degree or pursuit, even in the world of Asiya. However, we are permitted to engage in the zat, even the zat of gar of Adam Kadmon.
Mm-hmm.
Again, item 2.
No.
Okay, so we're moving on to item 7, the words of the Ari. The circles came out first, and the straightness next. We do not engage in the circles, but only in the straightness. Item 7. In the beginning, the 10 Sefirot came out through the circle, one within the other. Afterwards, within the circles, they extended in straightness as an image of one Adam throughout the length of the above-mentioned circles. Still, we have no dealings with the circles, but only with the straightness. Let's read item 7 again. The circles came out first, and the straightness next. We do not engage in the circles, but only in the straightness. Item 7. In the beginning, the 10 Sefirot came out through the circle, one within the other. Afterwards, within the circles, they extended in straightness, as an image of one Adam throughout the length of the above-mentioned circles. Still, we have no dealings with the circles, but only with the straightness.
Okay,
I don't see people. Let's go to the next page.
Okay, moving on to inner observations, circles and straightness containing 10 chapters.
I'm saying, again, these are important things, although we're not using them in each and every state, in each and every moment. Nevertheless, we are learning here how our general reality, where we are, how it is included of circles and lines, circles and straightness, what kind of connection we have with the Creator through the circles, if there are such connections, and what kind of connection do we have through the straightness, through the lines, how the circles and the straightness connect to us and between us, how do we use them? In short, these are the threads of connection between us and between us and the Creator. And there are two kinds of threads called circles and straightness. It's two forms of the Creator's governance over reality, and it's possible that it's to some extent how we can relate to Him in return. Please.
So again, we're reading inner observation, circles and straightness containing 10 chapters. Chapter 1, or item 1, the circles are regarded as Gar 1. The Ari spoke very little of the 10 Sefirot of circles. Even the words he did say seem to be filled with contradictions. However, it is impossible to elaborate on them because they are regarded as the first three Sefirot, which we are forbidden to delve into. Nevertheless, the little that the Ari did write should be explained elaborately, enough to accomplish the goal that the Ari had aspired for, meaning as much as it is necessary to understand the interconnections in this wisdom.
Although very little is written about circles and the relationship between circles and the straightness or the lines, it's not enough, but we need to know that the main thing are the circles, but what comes to us and towards us and what's important to us is the straightness, the lines. That's why the Ari did not bother to explain to us the matter of the circles. I mean, it's surrounding light, it's a general light, light without any connection in the created being. It's called a round light, light of circles. It's whole, it's without the existence of the created beings in it. And that's how we need to learn them as well, although there isn't enough written about them. So we'll discover them from our actions.
Item 2, we shall begin with in the 10 spherot of the straightness, the more internal is more important. We shall begin with a general understanding of the matters. The Ari divides reality into two discernments, circles and straightness. This means that all the Pertsufim in the five worlds, Adam Kadmon, Abia, and this world, consists of 10 sefirot of circles and 10 sefirot of straightness. We saw that in the sefirot of circles, more external is better, and more internal is worse. The uppermost circle, the closest to the surrounding Ein Sof that encircles the entire reality, whose name is Keter, is the best among them. Inside it is a second circle called Chochmah, which is worse than Keter, through to the innermost sphere, which is this world, the worst of all the circles, which is darkness without any light and full of filth. Thus, the more internal the circle is, the worse it is. And the more external the circle is, the better it is.
P7.
Rav, what does it mean that we are forbidden to engage in the circles and in the gar?
Forbidden, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, means impossible. It simply can't. Why? Because you lack the vessels. You have no possibility, you have no access to explore, to study, to feel, to perform any actions with the circles. The circles are not in your feeling. It's something that's ahead of you. Still. And that's why we're not allowed to engage in it, because we are engaging only in things that we can influence and we can study their reaction on us and continue in this give and take relationship. But with the circles, it doesn't work because we can't feel how they work on us and how we need to respond to them from that. Therefore, we learn about the circles in a very, very general way. That's the main thing. That's where all the lights, all the governance and the providence, but from the perspective of the Creator, but from the perspective of the created beings, we have nothing of it, almost no attainment, no understanding, no access, especially no mutual actions with the circles, with the light of the circles. It's not perceived by us. We are created beings that work according to the will to receive, and a will to receive that can resemble the will to bestow, meaning only according to the line. On the circles, we can come close to the circles to the extent that we acquire the force of or some semblance of control over our limitation. And then to the extent that we become less limited, we seemingly come closer to the circles. But it doesn't mean that this is who we are. How to give you an example. Let's say that we acquire certain knowledge of physics, the laws of the universe. By that, we become more open, more understanding, more feeling, but we are still within those laws. We learn We're learning those laws. We're working with them, in them. But when we speak of circles, we would speak of a force that is above the place of limitations, of straightness. So it's from a different degree of bestowal. We'll talk about it. We have to think about it, and gradually it'll come closer to us. Latin 7.
Gracias, Rav. No sé si quepa la pregunta, pero acá separa los mundos de Aviá.
Thank you, Rav. I don't know if my question is in place. Here it separates, distinguishes between the worlds of Aviá and this world. We know that you never talk about this world. So what does he mean when he says this world?
No, this world I talked no less than about the rest of the worlds. We have worlds, meaning the division of the bestowal of the Creator from the world of Ein Sof, and then Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Asiya Yitzira and Bia Yitzira Asiya, and there's this world. And then beyond all the worlds, there's the degrees, the machsoms, the barriers, the gates, and so on. There's the entry point into the world and an exit point of the world. It's just like you have the order of rooms, that you enter a room and then you go through it and enter the next room and exit. And that's how it is. From above down, the upper light operates on us, whereas in each room, in every single world, it adapts itself more and more until it comes to us and adapts itself to us. Now, all these worlds are no more than that which we learned in the world of Ein Sof, the tip of the Yud, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Just as we begin these degrees, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and graduate into many discernments of vessels and lights, then we're talking about worlds where each world exists, even though it's one partsuf, but it is included of within it also of 10 partsufim, and each partsuf of 10 others, and so on and so forth. But actually, every world is raising the light from us, and to the extent in which we can equalize ourselves with that world, then we reveal the light that's inside the world. And that's it. This is how we are in exits and entrances to the degrees, where each and every degree, before we enter it, let's say in the degrees of ascent, we need to acquire the screen, the masach, and to work just like that degree, and then we open it and feel that we're in it. And that's how it is each time. Now, in our world that was asked about, this world doesn't have a precise definition in the spirit, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, because it's already below all the spiritual laws that we have. Where we also have lights and vessels, screens, restrictions. But on the level of this world, they're not really operating because they don't have such forces. So we say that this world is below all the lines of the worlds, below the ladder of the worlds. He doesn't have a desire in order to bestow, but rather only a desire to receive, and it is a world, a state, in which the shattered vessels are after the shattering of Adam HaRishon, and from this state, they begin to slowly, slowly be clarified by the upper light that shines upon them, and then they become to get clarified from the purest to the coarsest, at which point they begin to rise and do actions that the world obligates them to do. And this is how they rise and rise all the way to the world of Asiya, Bria, Yetzirah, Bria, Atzilut, etc. Of course, all our corrections, just like we read, are already in Gar, in the upper three of Atzilut. The end of correction is to reach the degree of Atik of Arhanpin.
Good morning, Rav. Good morning, World 10. Are the external circles essentially the quality of bestowal? That's why they're closer to the Creator? These desires to bestow, is that why they're closer?
Correct. The more the circles are external, they're more powerful. The smallest circle, the most internal circle, is the circle of Malchut. The most external one is the circle of Keter.
Moscow one. The outer circles, they are accepted thanks to their more sensitivity or different in attitude?
We need both this and that. Each learns according to his qualities, according to his preparations, and the way he's made. And there's no one that is similar to the other. But later, when we, through corrections, come to a point where the upper light has an effect on them, it turns out that they change greatly, each and every one. And all the people, each grasps his state and the root of his soul, and that's how each nullifies himself, or annul, or that's the form of growth. It's very similar to what happens in this world. Each is different, each has different tendencies, but all together, when we connect, we can build a complete, nice world.
Thank you, Rav. What needs to be felt in this circle of Malhut to be able to advance to the next world, to the next circle? What do we need to feel?
It's not important which circle. We need to nullify ourselves before our first circle, which is the 10. So it will be before us felt as a circle where we are inside the 10 in the form of connection, a complete connection, in a tight mutual bond and mutual responsibility between us. If we make ourselves that way, we will feel that we're in a circle.
This circle is called to be the filthiest circle. So is there anything about feeling that it's filthy, that it's disgusting? Is there anything that we have to feel like that?
No, we don't need to feel it in such a way, because for us, it is the superior one. It's the upper one, because we're not in it yet. Even though it's the smallest of them all, but it's upper us, upper above us.
Okay.
PT 19, quickly.
Good morning, Rav, friends. What does he mean when he says the inner circle of all, which is this world, which is the worst of all circles? So what is that which is the coarser, the worst of all?
We can depict all the worlds in a geometrical manner, like circles or like balls, like spheres. Of course, all these things are only for us to be able to talk about it. But in spirituality, there are no forms or shapes. So he's telling us that our world is the smallest sphere, the small, the most internal one that we need to depict as such. If you will imagine this world in a way like it's a ball, which is all connected to its parts and in every state and all that, then you'll come closer to the truth, to spirituality.
Can we cause that sphere to become from the worst to the best?
If you try to bestow to all of humanity, so that it will take on the form of a ball, of a sphere, in the relations between them, then you'll come closer to the truth. That's how it works. Next.
Yes, we are in item 3 in inner observation. In 10 sefirot of straightness, the innermost is the most important. 3. The opposite is the sefirot of straightness, because the inner is the most praiseworthy. Because the 10 sefirot of straightness, the first and the innermost, are the 10 sefirot of Adam Kadmon. And it is called the line that expands from En Sof, that extends all the way close to this world and doesn't touch it. And in its externality, it is clothed by the 10 sefirot of straightness of the second world, called the world of Atzilut, whose merit is lower than that of the world of Adam Kadmon. The externality of the world of Atzilut is clothed by the 10 sefirot of straightness of the world of Bria, which is worse than the world of Atzilut. It follows in the same manner until the 10 sefirot of straightness of the world of Asiya, the worst of all the worlds, which clothes the externality of all the worlds. Thus, in the sefirot of straightness, more external is worse, and inner is better. The opposite of the 10 sefirot of circles. Indeed, a profound and great concept is presented here in this oppositeness between the sefirot of circles and the sefirot of straightness, which should be studied thoroughly.
Continue. I don't see that there are questions, and in truth, he's just explaining to us the simple form of it. Yes.
What does it mean that the 10 sefirot of straightness of the world of Asiya clothes in its externality all of the worlds?
Yes, you didn't read my books. My first 3 books about the wisdom of Kabbalah.
Maybe I have, but
I made many drawings over there of straightness and circles, and altogether how the worlds expand and spread that way. What should I explain to you? What exactly are you asking?
I'm not sure how the 10 sefirot of straightness of the world of Asiya clothes all the externality of all the worlds.
Yes, so what's the question?
It doesn't sit together.
Straightness, the stronger the straightness, the more internal it is. The more the circle is strong, it's more external. Yes?
Yes.
So it turns out that if we have five worlds of straightness, then each world that is higher is more internal. Therefore, all the worlds clothe Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, one upon the other, where the world Asiya is the most external of straightness.
But if it is the most external, is it the greater or the smaller in its influence?
Of course, it's most external. You could say small.
And then it's not understood how it clothes all of the worlds, including Adam Kadmon.
Well, so what?
How could it be that it clothes Adam Kadmon?
Because now you're talking about circles.
No, he writes that the tenth world of straightness of the world of Asiya, which is the worst, clothes the externality of all the worlds. So what does it mean that it clothes the externality of all the worlds?
Because it's the worst, it's the lowest. The strongest straightness is the internal. The strongest circle is the external circle.
He means here that it's just outer compared to all the others?
Yes, it clothes upon them all. Towards the others, it's kind of like waste, the world of Asiya.
PT30. Yeah, similar to Michal's question, maybe the other way around. He calls the innermost post now, the innermost point now, Adam Kadmon. I thought that that's the innermost is the worst.
What is he saying? I don't know. He's asking about you.
He calls the innermost point Adam Kadmon all of a sudden. Usually the innermost point was the worst, was this world.
Where is he reading this?
In item 3. He says the innermost is called the world of Adam Kadmon. From item 3. The ten sefirot of straightness are the ten sefirot of the world of Adam Kadmon.
Yes.
So the innermost place is called Adam Kadmon. I thought it's this world, the innermost place, the innermost point. He says, when we talked about the circles, the innermost was called this world, and in straightness, the innermost is Adam Kadmon.
So what's the problem?
If I'm in the innermost point, does that mean I'm in Adam Kadmon or in the worst world?
If you're in straightness, then the more internal you are, the better you are. If you're in circles, the more external you are, the better you are.
What does it mean in terms of feeling or...
I'm not talking about feeling, I'm talking about discernments. Don't confuse us. He's talking about feeling in straightness and circles in the place of Adam Kadmon. A person doesn't understand where he is. Next.
Item 4 from inner observation. Two kinds of reception in the vessel. A, through its interior. B, through its exterior. Item 4. You already know the middle point in Ein Sof, where the restriction took place and the light departed from that point and became an empty space. It explains that it is called the middle point to indicate that it does not receive through its internality and toch, but only through its externality from its surroundings. It receives the light without any limitation and measuring, because the one that receives from the externality does not limit the light. As a result, we have two kinds of reception in the vessels. The first kind is receiving through its exterior. The second kind is receiving through its interior. We must thoroughly understand with which internality and externality we are engaging here, as this certainly does not refer to a place or an area.
But, so he didn't finish here yet to scrutinize this for us. In a moment we will see beyond this. I'm asking, just don't let go that we are together, and together we are learning. These things are not so simple. They're obscure. They're not so connected to what we're doing in this world. They just give us a little of a depiction that it's circles and straightness. But these forces are completely not appearing in our world. And therefore, let's continue. You'll see how it'll work out. Please.
הן רק גורמות לגילוי בחינת דלת, והן עצמן אינן בני קבלה, כדלת קליפות שבדופן כלי.
The first three phases only cause the appearance of phase four, but they cannot receive. They are like four layers in the wall of the vessel.
מעין סוף.
Item 5. You already know that the term spiritual vessel refers to the desire in the emanated being to receive its abundance from Ein Sof. Also, you already know that this desire has four phases, one below the other. In other words, this vessel, being the above will to receive, can perform its task only after it gradually passes through the above four phases. The first phase is a very faint desire. Phase 2 is greater than phase 1, etc. Phase 4 is the full measure of the desire as it should be for the final completion of the vessel. The reason for it has already been explained. Since the form of this will to receive is absolutely opposite to the will to bestow in the light of Ein Sof, it cannot appear all at once, but only gradually. It starts from the will to bestow in the root, called Keter, continues to the coarser, which is a little different from it, being phase one. From there it continues to the coarser, namely phase two, and so on, by the same way until phase four, which is absolutely opposite to the form of the light. She specifically is able to serve as a vessel in the emanated being. However, the will to receive in the previous three phases is not disclosed enough to serve as a vessel for reception. Thus, only phase four is regarded as the vessel for reception in the emanated being. And for this reason, it is called the internality and the toch of the emanated being. Phase three in the desire is considered to be outside phase four. Phase two is outside phase three. And phase one is outside phase two. The phase of Keter is the most external. Like a corporeal vessel that contains four layers, one on top of the other, the abundance in that vessel is certainly received in the fourth, innermost layer. The three more external layers that surround it are only there as support for the innermost fourth layer. Here too, the light is received only in phase four, while the three first phases are exterior to it, present only because it is impossible for phase four to appear at once, but only by cascading, as we've explained above.
And,
No questions.
PT6.
Rav, I came to the lesson today. I didn't know even where I was, but I knew I'm with the 10. Same thing now in tests. I don't know what's going on, but I'm in the 10. Is that a good feeling?
Look, in truth, it's not the wise that learn. It's written so in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Secondly, the attainment of our spiritual degree does not depend whatsoever on how much you know and the quantity of material that you enter into your mind, but rather only and to the extent in which during the study you yearn to connect with your friends and with the Creator. That's it. You can barely hear a thing about what we're talking, what the reader's reading. Let him read. He has a role. Let him read it. But you're sitting in the lesson, and you want the lesson to affect you so that you will connect with the friends and with the Creator to a truly one body. That's what's important.
And while reading, I hear about circles and sefirot, and I wanted to ask, who is the Kabbalist who discovered it first? Where do we get all this knowledge from, all this teaching from?
All the knowledge and all the Torah comes to us according to how we received it from Adam HaRishon.
Adam.
Adam HaRishon, like the Ari writes, is the one that attained all of reality and began to pass it through his offspring, as we call his students, until Abraham, and from Abraham onwards, etc., etc. Okay.
So, Ari was just the first to write it?
First of all, back then, there wasn't much of a possibility of writing. Secondly, altogether, they wouldn't consider too much writing. They thought that everything needed to be learned verbatim, mouth to mouth. And that's how they were learned. That's how they used to learn. And with all those schools, if you want, or if you could say these old seminaries, the ancient ones, until they came to the times of Abraham. During the times of Abraham, they already began to write more and to learn in a more orderly way, where they would sit and Abraham would explain and they would learn, all those who came to him to learn. But nevertheless, this was all by heart. Altogether, the matter of learning things by heart is very typical to the wisdom of Kabbalah and the Torah altogether. People didn't used to look at the books. And if there were a few books that were written here and there, these were very, very light, very thin, if you will, books. The actual engagement in books begins truly in the last era, only lately. You could see even 400, 500 years ago, that it was already like in our generation, that people didn't used to study from books so much. They didn't have too many books. If they had a book or two or three, if someone had that, he was considered a rich man, first of all. And And he didn't have all the books. Let's say the Babylonian Talmud, this is 20 volumes. And if there was one great teacher, then he had like two volumes, maybe three volumes all together. And all the rest. But out of several such books, he understood also and attained that which happens in the rest of the things. It wasn't like today where you have, where you enter into any person that studies and he has at home like a bookstore.
And the circles and straightness, was that studied back then or it starts from the Ari?
No, the structure of reality began from Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon told us all together in what world we exist, about the system of governance and providence, the upper governance. That's Adam HaRishon. And after him, 20 generations later, till Abraham, and from Abraham to us. That's how it is.
New York free.
Rav, why is phase four considered the completion of the desire, specifically in phase four, not before that and not after that?
We learned this more than once about the four phases of the expansion of the upper light, where the upper light is all bestowing, but until it reaches the will to receive, it goes, it has to go through four phases. There's the expansion of the upper light and the upper light. Then it builds the first vessel where the expansion of the upper light downwards is called Keter. And it built its first vessel, its first kli, which it receives it, the desire to receive that receives the light. That's called Chokhmah. And this vessel doesn't want to receive, but rather rejects it in return because it received the nature of the light. That's called Bina. And then Chokhmah and Bina together begin to connect in the third vessel called Zeranpin. And then the Malchut chooses from what there is in Zeranpin that she does want to receive into her the upper light. And therefore, it's called Malchut. That's it. That's how, and there is no more than that. Because that's enough. That's already the desire to receive the Malchut. Where you don't need anything. So Keter is the desire to give, to bestow, and Malchut is the desire to receive. And all the rest in between are the spreading or expansion of the light into the Kli, the building of the vessel. Other questions? None. Okay, we will continue.
We are in the inner observation, item 6. Internality and coarseness are the same, externality and refinement are the same too. Item 6. Now you have thoroughly learned about the internality and externality that we must distinguish in every vessel, because there are four phases in every vessel. The last of them is called the Toch, and the internality of that vessel. It is the essence of the reception in the vessel. The phases that precede it are meant to reveal the final phase and are therefore regarded as the externality of the vessel. The farther the degree is from the last phase, the more external it is considered to be. You should also know that phase 1 is more refined than phase 2, and phase 4 is the coarsest. It turns out that internality and the coarseness are one and the same thing, and the reason that phase 4 is regarded as the one that receives the abundance is because she is the most coarse. Similarly, externality and refinement are one and the same, because her desire is faint and refined, and thus closer to the emanator. For this reason, it is the most external, meaning the farthest from reception, which is internality and toch.
Give.
Да, дорогой Рав, скажите, а вот если Малхут это получающий...
Yes, dear Rav. Tell me, please, if Malchut is the part that receives and Keter is the bestowing part, so how does the work of Malchut take place in advancing towards the system?
Malchut does not want to receive what she receives from the Keter, but only on the condition that it's in order to bestow. Meaning she receives, but on the condition that her reception will be in bestowal. Just like when you are a guest at someone's home, and you reject and reject what he's giving you, and he's imploring you to receive, then ultimately your reception becomes bestowal because you're doing a favor in receiving. You're doing good to him. That's how Malchut gives back to the Keter.
So what's the role of these intermediate ones between Keter and Malchut?
They build the connection between Keter and Malchut. They build the connection. There can't be any other form of connection. It doesn't happen for no reason. Keter is the will to bestow, to give. Chokhmah is a will to receive. That's why it's already called a kli. See? It's a vessel.
Bina.
From the work of the light within the will to receive, it provides the will to receive with its quality of bestowing. So then the kli of Bina becomes bestowing. Like Keter, they're similar. Right? Okay. Now, Bina, since it wants to bestow, since it's similar to Keter, it wants to give, it wants to bestow. What can it do? It then extends the light of Chokhmah from the Keter, and then both, the light of Chokhmah and the light of Bina, give birth from both of them. They give light, they give birth to a light called the light of Chasadim with an illumination of Chokhmah. This is Zeranpin. So Zeranpin is like their son, their child of Chokhmah and Bina together. They both work through Zeranpin. And then Zeranpin, being an outcome of Bina, it doesn't belong to the kind of bestowal that Bina wants to give. It sees that the main light working in it is a light of Chokhmah. And that's what gives it life and sustenance. And that's why it wants to receive that light and so it becomes great in its will to receive, meaning the will to receive that exists here in the Malchut, this will to receive comes both from Chokhmah and from the desire of bestowal of Bina. Both of them connect in the desire to receive of Malchut. So that desire wants to receive both bestowal and reception. It wants to enjoy it all. And that's how the created being was created. PT 19.
So he says here, if you knew that the first phase is purer than the second and the fourth is the coarsest of them all, the difference between refinement and coarseness is, how could it be that the coarseness and the refinement is the same thing? That's not clear.
Okay, where are you?
I am. I'll read it clearer. He says, and you should know.
Where
is it? The last place in the verse 6, the farther the degree, fourth phase is the coarsest. It turns out that the internality and coarseness are one and the same.
How could
it be that externality is the same thing as the internality?
Internality is more refined, pure, and coarseness is externality with respect to what?
He's saying that the internality and externality are the same. So it's not clear. What does it mean that they're the same? How could it be that they're the same?
Were you even with us or not that you're asking about it? What is he telling you in the headline here? Internality means refinement. Externality means coarseness. So, internality is refinement, externality is coarseness. He's talking here about vessels of straightness. What is he telling you in item 6? I'll read. Now you have thoroughly learned about the internality and externality we must distinguish in every vessel. Because there are four phases in every vessel, the last of them is called the Toch, and the internality of that vessel. It is the essence of the reception in the vessel. The last phase of the vessel, what it has developed into. And the phases that precede it are meant to reveal the final phase and are therefore regarded as the externality of the vessel. The farther the degree is from the last phase, the more external it is considered to be. You should also know that's what you wanted to ask, right? You should also know that phase 1 is more refined than phase 2, and phase 4 is the coarsest. It turns out that internality and coarseness are one and the same thing. And the reason that phase 4 is regarded as the one that receives the abundance is because she is the most coarse. Similarly, externality and refinement are one and the same because her desire is faint and refined and thus closer to the emanator. For this reason, it is the most external, meaning the farthest from reception, which is internality and toch. What's unclear, mister?
I'll tell you, from the cascading of what you just talked about now, I'm asking, what's the reason that in B'chinat Dalet, in the fourth phase, there's the greatest coarseness? Maybe that's the best question. What's the reason? What's there that specifically in the fourth phase has the greatest coarseness? Why?
I'll answer you. The fourth phase is the coarsest, because that desire to bestow that exists in Prina Bet, second phase, and the will to receive that exists in Prina Aleph, first phase, and the desire to give that exists in Prinat Keter, they all come to Zeran Pin, and there, the Kli that has nothing of all of these loftier discernments. Zeran Pin is small. It doesn't understand all these things. It observes like a child that's observing what's in front of it, and it then chooses what's according to my nature. And then its nature is discovered as receiving and everything there is from all the previous discernments, and that's how the Malchut is then built.
Understood. Rav, maybe you can explain what internality relates to and what coarseness relates to. Because
we'll talk about it. We'll discuss it, okay. Queens.
Да, доброго времени суток, дорогие друзья.
Yes, good day, dear friends.
Три стадии, о которых мы говорим здесь,
those three first phases, the first three that we're talking about here, do they have a tight connection with the fourth phase to develop it? So my question, where does the point of Keter start? Is that the beginning of creation?
Again.
Meaning what we call the Yud is the beginning of creation?
PT 12, yes.
Rav, where exactly does the matter and time and all that we know begin?
No, that's not here. That's not here. This begins in the world of Atzilut, and also not in Atzilut itself. It happens only below the Pulsa. That's where we'll learn. We'll have to learn. There's many discernments and different forms there that we have to find.
Rav, but aren't vessels of straightness, vessels of overcoming, or the things that we're learning about that doesn't belong to that?
No. No, this is still the execution of connections between the lights and the vessels.
We're continuing with item number 7. Closeness to and remoteness from the emanator are evaluated according to the measure of reception in the emanated being. 7. This is what the Ari wrote about the Sfirot of circles, that the more external is better and closer to the emanator. That is because the phase of Shoresh, of the root, called Keter, is the most refined and closest in form to Ein Sof, meaning closest to the emanator. It designates her as the most external, meaning farthest from the Toch, and the internality, meaning from the manner of reception. After her comes phase 1, which is even more internal than the Keter, meaning closer to reception. Phase 2 is more internal than her, meaning closer to phase 4, being the phase of reception. Thus, phase 4 is the actual true internality, meaning the abundance is received in her. For this reason, her form is also the farthest from the emanator.
Kiev.
Yes, dear Rav, I didn't understand too much. how are the qualities of the circles and the straightness relate to the internality and externality?
I advise you, hear and hear, listen, try to delve into it. There will be some sort of barrier, some sort of limit that doesn't let us get into it. Circles, straightness, expansion, connection, it doesn't sink in. I feel it. I feel it on our whole great group now that is studying, that people can't connect with what they're hearing. And it's correct. It's natural. There has to, some time has to pass. Another lesson, another two lessons, not more than that. And you'll start feeling how it opens up. It opens up to you. And then you'll feel, I'm talking next week, maybe even this week, how you feel these things closer. Closer. And you'll start feeling how it's possible to work with it. That's how it's going to be. I promise you. Just listen. Hear it. Even if you don't want to. And you'll then see the results. And then everything will become much simpler. These things, they sink in not through the intellect that you're making efforts with right now. It goes in through the ear. You hear and hear, and then suddenly it becomes clearer. That's how it works. That's why it says, not the smart one who learns, meaning not through the head, but through the ear.
А как же правильно так слушать, чтобы это, ну, вошло в сердце?
How can you hear in a correct way so it'll enter the heart and not to the mind?
You keep going the way you are. I can't tell you how, because you're still going to do it according to your own nature. If you want to know, then you're going to be making efforts intellectually to know how this and how that, and you'll go into a deeper confusion, and then it will become clearer. And for others, they don't step into that confusion. It just gradually sinks in, and each one goes through his own path. But I'm talking within a few lessons. Say, by the end of next week, you're going to feel these things closer to you. Toronto 2.
Unmute.
Toronto 2.
Stasik on mute.
Tov, nazov oto.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
Yeah, we finally hear you. Okay.
I'm sorry. All the calculations to receive in the fourth phase of receiving the lights, are they towards receiving pleasure or to be close to the Creator?
I don't understand. All the calculations are in order to bestow contentment to the Creator. Yes.
Okay, that was the question.
This attitude is something that I'm teaching from the first day, and it's very obvious from Kabbalists, so I don't understand your question. Okay, Michael.
We're entering into item 8. In the 10 sfirot of straightness, the degree is measured according to the reflected light that rises from the coarseness in the screen. The greater the coarseness, the greater the reflected light. Item 8. In the 10 sfirot of straightness, there is the matter of reflected light that rises from the coupling of the screen with the upper light. The amount of reflected light is measured by the coarseness in the screen that performs the coupling with the upper light, the greatest coarseness in the screen, namely phase 4, reveals a full measure of the 10 sefirot as high as Keter. If the amount of coarseness in the screen is less by one phase, consisting only of phase 3, it reveals 10 sefirot that have the level of Chochmah, and the Keter is missing. If all it has is the coarseness of phase 2, it only reveals 10 sefirot, where each has the level of Bina, without the degree of Keter and Chochmah. If the screen has only the coarseness of phase 1, it only reveals 10 sefirot, where each has only the level of Zeiranpin. Finally, if the screen is refined and hasn't even the coarseness of phase 1, it does not reveal any level, only the discernment of Malchut. The reason for this will be explained below in part 3.
Again. Allah.
Yes, next. Again.
Can I ask about this?
Yes.
They say that the reflected light is always 10 sefirot, only its power is different in each sefira?
There is no light without 10 sefirot. How are you asking that? Of course, what appears to us is after something from above goes through 10 sefirot and then appears to us. And so we don't discover what we call light, but rather some influence from above that is clothed in the 10 sefirot.
Tov. P.T. 30, mi ze?
Okay, P.T. 30, who's that?
Ata kvar shalta yom shtoyot.
No, you already asked nonsense today.
Something corrected, I'll correct my ways.
Go.
It just sounds that in circles, the more coarseness is worse, and in a...
There's no coarseness in the circles.
The fourth phase is more coarseness, he wrote. In circles, the more coarseness is worse, and straightness, the more coarseness is better?
What is good and what is bad? It depends on what discernments we're talking about, what kind of work, what kind of screens, bestowal. Are you talking about with a masach or without a masach?
So what's the difference between coarseness of circle and coarseness of a line, of straightness?
In the circles, we're not talking about coarseness. It's the development of the vessels only. The revelation of coarseness is about the straightness. That's why it's called straightness, meaning that it goes from light to heavy, from upper to lower.
Kiev 1.
Kiev 1.
Да, дорогой Раф, а вот что вот он здесь описывает?
Yes, dear Rav. What is he describing here in this last piece that we read? How does the screen have to do with the depth of attainment and the degree of desire? It's not so clear.
The Masach connects the upper and the lower, the giver and the receiver, because everything is clarified in the Masach. The Masach is the place, the discernments, where the connection happens between the giver and the receiver, where they make a connection and mutual giving. It's all the masach. And all the discernments, therefore, after the tzimtzum, tzimtzum aleph, we relate them to the masach. And there in the Masach, we
מביאים כל ההבחנות שלנו.
we bring there all our discernments, Aviyut, Zakut, Reshimot, Zivug Daka, Izdachachut, Pashtut, it's all in the Masach. The Masach is the main thing that exists between the upper and the lower. It's the meeting point, the common place, that there's nothing besides that. Okay, and last one is Latin 7.
Gracias, Rav. Parecería que.
Thank you, Rav. It seems like the sefirot of circles operate more as like the head that makes discernments and calculations, and the sefirot of straightness are more as an action where they execute within the parts of. Is it that way, Rav?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
Hebrew 10.
Hebrew 10.
And Rav, toda.
Yes, Rav, thank you. As we're ending the lesson, we heard how important it is to connect to the materials and feel it. I also heard about your first three books and how they can help the student. The thing is that they're only in Russian. The question is that important.
Do they only exist in Russian? And I don't know. I wrote them 42 years ago. Approximately 40 years ago. And I haven't seen them since then. But what's written there is correct. So it's worthwhile reading. I don't think there's no translation, at least to some languages, a few languages besides Russian.
It can be translated. The question is how important it is, if you think.
I gave there in a concise way, in a concrete way, everything that exists in Talmud Esar Sefirot. And it's a book of 200 pages in a simple way for beginners. And if you have an opportunity, look into it. It's definitely somewhere in the archive.
Yes, it's in the archive.
Okay, we will conclude with this. Let's hope that next week, and also from tomorrow, the day after, we'll begin this study in a deeper way. And what else can I say? I see that we are advancing faster as opposed to this world, that it's also advancing in the opposite direction, through the opposite direction. And soon, hopefully, we'll see how it influences us and we influence the world. And we'll talk about it. And if you have questions about it, prepare them, and we'll talk about all of this current affairs situation.
Before we move to a song, the schedule for the weekend this morning in Israel time, 10 o'clock, there's going to be a conversation that Rav is going to have on a live broadcast with Michael Sanilevich. At 10:45 to 11:15 a.m. Israel time, live program, Dr. Lightman with Igal and Masha Resnik. Of course, the morning lesson will start as usual, 2:45 preparation, 3 to 6, the daily Kabbalah lesson. Please note that the afternoon lesson is going to be a change in the beginning time. We are going to be gathering at 1:45 to 2 p.m. Israel time for the afternoon lesson preparation, lesson from 2 to 3. After that, from 3 to 4:30, will be the women's lesson with Rav Lightman, and from 4:30 to 5, the Women World Gathering. And we'll conclude with a song. I don't believe in myself, but I believe in you. I'm falling into myself, but I want to draw to you. 'Cause when we can stand together,
love of frozen hearts. I'm sure the light will come and make things right. We are the parts of the one man body. We are the soldiers of the light. We're gonna break these walls together and let the love free our minds. We're gonna burn like fire, fire in the one desire. Love is stronger than the dark side of life. Nothing else besides light, light and love, love and light, light. In the end, there's nothing else besides light, light and love, love and light, light. In the end, there's nothing else besides light. No matter what will come in our winding path, always watch your back. So let's just stand together. I'll hold you in my arms, and suddenly the light will come and heal the heart. We are the part of the one man army. We are the soldiers of the light. We're gonna break these walls around us and let the hope fulfill our lives. We are the part of the one man army. We use the guns, we look to tears. We're gonna break these shells around us and let the light come out of here. We're gonna burn like fire, fire in the one desire. Love is stronger than the dark side of life. Besides light,
I don't believe in myself,
light,
but I believe in
and love, love and light, light. In the end, there's nothing else besides light.
I don't believe in myself,
light,
but I believe in
and love, love and light, light. In the end, there's nothing else besides light.
I don't believe in myself, but I believe in you.